welcome to the Commune Podcast. My name is Jeff Krasno. Many of you may receive my weekly Sunday Commusing article, where I address a breadth of issues from the spiritual to the physiological to the socio-political. And on occasion, I will record an audio version of these articles and release it here as a bonus episode. So that's what it is today. So it's that time of year again. No, not baseball season, not spring cleaning, not planting the garden. It's dance competition season. Dance hands, yeah. My daughters, Ondine and Micah, are avid and committed dancers and tour Southern California dance comps as part of a local studio. Suspiciously, Skylar also schedules the bulk of her retreats to coincide with these weekend competitions. And this curious timetabling forces me to assume my least preferred role in life. Dance dad. Yeah, that's me. So today's musing is a stream of consciousness tapped into my phone at last weekend's spectacle. And if you're easily offended, you may want to stop short of listening to this relatively unfiltered romp. But if you press on, hopefully you will have a laugh or two. But if you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And if you're interested in checking out our course platform, which features over 150 programs now from top docs like Mark Hyman and Zach Bush and thought leaders like authors Deepak Chopra and Marianne Williamson, well, you can sign up for a 14-day free trial at onecommune.com/trial. I'm also waxing alternately poetic and pathetic on Instagram at Jeff Krasno. Okay, without further delay, here's today's episode titled Diaries of a Dance Dad. March 2nd, 2024. Cypress, California. I am enduring a three-day dance competition in Orange County with my horrible, adorable daughters. A torture I wouldn't wish to inflict upon my worst enemy. I sit alone among throngs in a cavernous and fetid auditorium, waiting and waiting and waiting for my girls to take the stage. It's a strange type of horrifying boredom for me, the tedium of which is starkly counterpointed by the emotional tumult of the 500 endocrine-disrupted teenage dancers in the room. For them, the weekend is an adrenaline roller coaster fueled by nerves, hairspray, and Skittles full of squeals and tears. There's literally nothing in that last sentence that I fancy. The competition is titled LA Inferno. The organizers at least have the self-awareness to name this ghastly experience appropriately. Indeed, there is a profound deviousness to the structure of the event itself. Now, each individual routine is about 90 seconds in duration. Hence, my daughter's six dances could be tidily packaged in about 10 riveting minutes. Instead, however, the performances are spread out over 3 days, creating a multi-hour purgatory between each of their dances. This scheduling manipulation is an iniquitous form of hostage-taking, for every audience member is clustered here just to watch their own child. There is only one Misty Copeland in the universe, and apparently every parent in Southern California has one. But now, we are nefariously forced into sacrificing multiple days of an already diminishing lifetime watching other wretched children bumble about. This scheme maximizes audience size and the opportunity for the organizers to hawk shoddy polyester merchandise in the lobby. Now, I'm tempted to purchase a crimson t-shirt emblazoned with Inferno across the front, just for an ironic selfie, but I resist. The dances are so brief and the schedule so unreliable that one dare not take a pee, for risk of missing one's daughter's performance and subsequently facing their wrath. Now, I've missed dances before and have tried to lie about it. They always know. And then you've given up your entire weekend only for your daughters to revile you. So you sit there and give yourself a urinary tract infection because a UTI is less egregious than the consequences of missing a fucking lyrical routine. This is Dante's ninth ring. The future may well be female in the rest of the free world, but it is very much the present here at Barbieland High School in Minimalistan, California. Among the thousand or so chromosomes present, there are about a dozen of the Y variety who clustered towards the back of the auditorium, slumped and beleaguered, asking themselves that very question. Why? I am there in the back row with other hapless dads. Now, you might think that this penance provides an opportunity for male bonding, but it doesn't. No commiseration is required. Now, we may exchange an anguished half-smile, but like convicts, our shared immiseration is implicitly understood. On occasion, when our progeny takes the stage, one of us will try to pull the dance dad version of Rosa Parks and move closer to the action, only to quickly retreat, penis firmly between our legs, when the music stops. Men have occupied the seats of power in many milieus, but here, we're treated like imposters at best and like perverts at worst. In response to this relentless persecution, like a badgered suspect, we begin to question our own innocence as we stoically survey the hundreds of scantily clad pubescent teenage girls thrusting their hips on a well-lit stage. But let me set the record straight. Despite the fact that you may be witnessing gyrations otherwise reserved for windowless Hollywood dive bars featuring a pole, I guarantee that this spectacle is a form of testosterone-sapping castration. The absence of eroticism is largely underwritten by the gaggle of dance moms trying desperately to impersonate the grotesque TV personality Abby Lee. And with all apologies to Hieronymus Bosch, this inferno could be bottled up and sold as un-Viagra. The entire affair is an imp's breath from a beauty pageant, replete with the self-important panel of judges, the frenzied award ceremony, the sanctimonious and unintelligible speeches, the five-and-dime plastic trophies. The volume of concealer deployed could mask a zit the size of Vesuvius. The absolute absurd surfeit of blush, mascara, lipstick, and garish costuming is an exercise in homogenization. I literally cannot identify my own child from another, a phenomenon that only increases the demand of my attention, making it more difficult to type this musing into my phone. I serve only two purposes here, chauffeur and food runner. I attempt to be supportive and leverage my musical background for useful commentary, but jazz dance is curiously not set to jazz music, nor is hip-hop necessarily set to hip-hop, and contemporary doesn't appear contemporary at all, and don't you dare confuse it with modern. So, I'm back in the car, having relinquished my prized parking slip and heading to Jersey Mike's with a text thread of requests. The weekend requires a suspension of all culinary health and moral standards. Twizzlers, Advil, mascara, Doritos, liquid death, nail polish, a phthalate sandwich. It's like we've moved into a CVS. I deliver the goods backstage without the faintest nod of appreciation and head back into the inferno. I stick my AirPods back in my ears and unpause Audible. The juxtaposition of listening to Christopher Hitchens during a tap dance routine provides brief but needed comic relief. If God has anything to do with my predicament, he certainly is not great. Finally, the loudspeaker crackles. Please welcome Micah and Ondine from Creation Station as they perform their duo titled One Moment More. Indeed, One Moment More is about all I can muster. Like a well-trained cadet, though, I come to attention, and there they are, center stage, focused but serene. The piano ballad perfumes the air, and they yoke with it, carrying its wistfulness in the lilt of their hands. Their arms unfurl, strong yet supple, like boughs of a willow. They float with each sauté and ascend effortlessly with each relevé, instinctively aware of their bodies in space. They are locked in, an imaginary string between them, moving as one, as if connected to a single source. They dance in front of 500 people as if they have no audience, no past, no future, just simultaneous intention and action. They know where to go without knowing. This taste of cognitive absence will someday make them susceptible to vice off the stage. But for now, it's pure liberation to flow like water, to fill empty space without purpose. The music stops, and they culminate the routine in a deep embrace, an act of sorority that shrouds the buzzing theater with a longed-for silence. This emotional salience will win them a first-place tchotchke. I mop a tear from the puncta of my eye. My daughters are better than me. And for a fleeting moment, I get to sit under the trees that I have planted. They stride confidently off the stage, and as quickly as it lifted, the marine layer drifts back in. I am once again socked into the fog of gaudy leotards and Taylor Swift remixes. Eventually, through the awful grace of God, this divine comedy ends. I wait for the girls in the lobby, tapping my own foot. I'm malodorous and feel fat. They take their sweet time packing up their dream duffel, the grossly misnomered repository for their sundry dance gear. I will eventually get the honor of hauling this uncommonly heavy piece of luggage up 93 steps, but only after a 2-hour bumper-to-bumper car ride home. Frumpy moms file out languidly. Garbage bins overflow with almost emptied venti Starbucks tumblers. Footprinted handbills litter the soggy carpet. It's over. Almost. The return home will be a deafening relitigation of the weekend's lowlights, high golds, and elite platinums. I stare out the window into the humdrum of pumped gas and dry cleaning and return to thumbing out these words on my phone. In this moment of utter insignificance, in this shithole of a lobby, I realize it is in fact insignificance that we so desperately crave. To do something not because it signifies anything, but simply to do it for its own sake. To dance just to dance. To write just to write. Thanks a lot for listening to this commusing. If you have any questions, suggestions, or criticism of the constructive variety, I am here at jeffk@onecommune.com. Okay, that's all from the commune for today. My name is Jeff Krasno, and I'm here for you.